Going to be a great show today. Mark Haney here. And our focus today, as it is every week, is entrepreneurship and how to help entrepreneurs succeed. That's what Haney Biz is all about. That's what I am focused on in my life as a career, as an occupation, backing the hometown entrepreneur. Today, we're going to be talking about the people you want to put in your life when you need money, right? When you need to do your banking. And so we're going to be sharing some things that are happening at Five Star Bank, talking to one of their partners, one of their clients, and really getting a sense as to what certain types of businesses are doing besides Haney Biz, along with Haney Biz, to help the entrepreneurial community right here in the hometown we love. So stick around. So fired up today to be hanging with two high-powered business leaders here in the Sacramento region. We are here with Krista Snelling. She is the COO, Executive Vice President of Five Star Bank, along with Preet Kuar, who is the CEO at Pacific Staffing. And today we're going to be talking about really how to win. And part of that, an enormous part of that, is building the right team and a diverse team. And so we're talking about two high-powered women who have figured out a way to succeed, but they're also helping other businesses to succeed here in the region. So with no more further ado, I will first introduce Krista Snelling. How you doing, Krista?
I'm good, thank you.
Glad good, to be here. Good. Thank you for being on the show. And of course, Preet, how are you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, great. So I'll do my best to sort of coordinate this conversation so that you can tell. I think you're going to know the difference. You know my voice, but you may not know Krista's or Preet's as well at the beginning here. So I'll do my best to sort of navigate that a little bit at the beginning. So maybe we'll start off with you, Krista, just a little bit as the maybe a little background on you and Five Star Bank.
All right. I will say that I am the one who does not have the really cool accent, so that'll be easy to tell. So I am a CPA. My story and my journey to Five Star Bank, you know, starts where I grew up in Sacramento. I'm from Orangevale. I went to University Pacific for college and UC Davis for graduate school. I then, I was a math and econ person, and I then got a job at Arthur Anderson in the assurance division, became a CPA auditor type. I was there when the Enron thing happened and ended up going over to KPMG, as did everybody. And then I was the controller of Placer Sierra Bank, which was my first job in banking. And people in this area know Placer Sierra. We did an IPO and a secondary offering and three acquisitions. So in 3.5 years, it was pretty crazy. And then I worked at, you know, a couple of different financial services firms for a few years and landed at Five Star in 2009 as the CFO. At that point, did a lot of operational things as well and took a 4-year sabbatical from Five Star from 2013 to 2017. And now I'm back as the Chief Operating Officer and the CFO.
Well, welcome back. Preet, how about you giving us a snapshot on your journey as well?
So I've been in the recruitment, specifically on agency recruitment, for 20 years now, going on 21. I graduated from San Francisco State University in 1999 and just fell into recruiting. My degree is in accounting. That's something I didn't enjoy. I interned a couple of positions, didn't like it, went back to my job at Safeway, and I was planning to go get my master's in education because I enjoyed interaction with people. Specifically, I was thinking of kids, and there was a customer who had a headhunting firm in San Francisco that supported technology companies in Silicon Valley. He started chatting with me about an opportunity as a recruiter, and I went in, interviewed with him, and there I was. So moved to Sacramento in 2002. I've been a recruiter in this area since then.
So you talk about that, maybe a follow-up question to that is, now you're the CEO of this company. So you sort of started kind of like kind of at the bottom of an industry, and then you led your, now you're the CEO of I guess one of the most highly regarded staffing companies in the region. Any special keys that we might take away for how you were able to sort of break through?
Yes, a lot of hard work, dedication, but I must say I love what I do. I'm a recruiter through and through. So early on when I went into Silicon Valley and started recruiting, it was more of, I ended up telling the owner of RGA Consulting, it's an amazing company. Most of us who left there are either working for Korn Ferries of the world or started their own. So what I would say is I just had an amazing mentor who believed in me. And I was the teacher's pet. I sat right in front of his door, and he got a chance. I had a chance to allow him to give me feedback as I was headhunting for consultants for some key companies in Silicon Valley. So I got lucky. I ended up working with somebody who still mentors me. He's retired since then. His kids have taken over the company, stayed in touch with him, and he's quite proud of all of our accomplishments, anybody who worked for him. So just staying in touch with somebody who's truly good at their art.
You know what I like about that story, Preet, is that mine is very similar in the sense of having specific people who I worked for take a very deep interest in me and act as mentors and champions. And I've been very fortunate to have that experience at, you know, several different places where I've worked and, you know, continue to today at Five Star as well. But I love it. And I love it that you keep in touch with him, because that's a big deal. I do the same thing. And I think it's a key factor.
Well, interesting question. So to both of you then, so both of you had people who were instrumental in your life as mentors and people that wanted to sort of help you along. How do we find that person in our lives? So, right, the average person out there doesn't have a mentor. And I think a lot of times we have to create those opportunities. Any thoughts on that, Preet?
I think it's easier to do it now than it used to be with LinkedIn, social media, you know, virtual networking. If you're truly interested in a profession or a position or a company per se, reach out to somebody who's good at it. For me, I had a manager, owner of a company that was truly good at headhunting. He could close any deals. He was very straightforward. So I wanted to be as good as him. When I told him that, he said, well, I might make you cry. And I said, bring it on, right? So you have to be open to real feedback, because a lot of times I've reached out or I've had individuals reach out to me. Their idea of having a mentor is somebody who's a motivational speaker type of person. I think a true mentor will be able to sit with you or talk to you and give you real feedback, and you have to be open to it. So it's a two-way street.
Yeah, I agree with you, Preet, because the mentors that I have been the people who have served it to me straight. And there have been times that I have heard things that were really, really difficult to hear, but I needed to hear them. And I was open to the feedback. And every time, you know, I worked really hard to take the feedback in the manner it was intended, which is to be helpful. And in doing so, you know, it hurt a little bit, but it made me better in the long term. So that's, I try to do that to people. I try to give very candid, you know, but nice feedback. But, you know, you're not doing anyone any favors if you don't tell them. So I try to do that, but it's difficult sometimes.
Do you feel like sometimes we end up running in these pockets? Like, we're talking about women's empowerment at the moment. And I know that there are women's empowerment groups that you're both involved in. You've got circles, and it's predominantly women in these groups. Preet, you mentioned you reached out to a man for this kind of mentorship, but I guess the question is, reaching outside of our comfort zone, the ones that are most convenient, is that advisable? How do you know who would be the best help? And is it better to get maybe an alternative perspective? Like maybe it's from a guy if you're a woman.
I think it's good to be open. It could be a guy. I have mentors or friends that are quite different from me, and then they're similar. So for me, you know, somebody in the staffing and recruitment world, at least 2 to 3 different contacts helps a lot. So I have somebody that I talk on a regular basis and keep a friendship with or along with, you know, it's not just when I need something, but just to check on that person who is an executive recruiter, all retained in San Francisco that I worked with. Well, my former boss now, well, I've had two, not only the owner of RGA Consulting, but locally, the franchise owner, Mike Degarian of Manpower. When I came in and worked for him and the CFO, Malcolm Carling Smith, Malcolm had helped several entrepreneurial companies in local market. I made sure I stayed close to them, even when I left there. And that's the reason I'm at Pacific Staffing. They recommended me to Jay Jerschik, who is the founder of Pacific Staffing. So I never, going back to your question, I think it's important to have several close connections or network or mentors that you connect with in different areas. Let's say for Krista or a couple other women executives I have, we can brainstorm about just what it's like to be a mom and, you know, run a business or, you know, go through that, the number of hours we work on and serve on boards. So for me, I felt like I had amazing mentors who were male in the staffing world because I had a vision that I wanted to own a search firm, either by myself or a team like I do now. So it was good I had that, but I also feel that as a mom, as a woman, I also needed to add on to my network because there's different challenges that goes along with it.
Well, maybe we can kind of another follow-up question to that. Then you talk about challenges that sort of goes along with it. Are there specific challenges that you faced, Krista, or maybe you faced, Preet, in your journey that maybe other people might be able to relate to?
I mean, for me, my challenges along the way have been more I've had great mentors throughout my career at all the companies I've worked with, but more of like managing, you know, the home life situation with the work at the same time. I am married to a man who is more than an equal partner at home, which has been key for me. I traveled a lot when I was in my 20s. And then when we had kids, you know, I've always worked a lot of hours. He works too, but not the same kind of hours that I do. And I don't know if I could have done it if I didn't have that. So in terms of challenges, you know, I tell him all the time that I chose right when I chose him because I couldn't be where I am if I didn't have him there supporting me. So that's sort of my biggest challenge.
Preet, any other challenges beyond that that you may have faced in your journey that you've figured out a way to overcome?
Well, I have the same situation as Krista. I mean, you know, my husband does most of the running around with the kids. He works at Intel. He can work from home. He's in Folsom. That's where we live. I spend long hours. And in the headhunting world, you get a hold of or you tend to interview after hours because most of the passive candidates are working. So I had to excuse myself quite a bit during dinner time. So, you know, explaining to my kids they're important, as important, more important, obviously, than my work. But, you know, that's something I don't have that the same type of my kids aren't going through the same type of upbringing as I did for a number of reasons. My mom stayed at home. I'm an immigrant. We moved here from Fiji. So it's quite different. But I do have a village right around me. My in-laws live with us, so we're three generations living together. They helped us raise kids. My parents were a minute away. So I had a lot of support along the way, but the guilt was always there, especially when I went in to help out with my, in the classroom, and one of the teachers thought I was the stepmom because the dad was there, my husband was there all the time. So there were times I had to, you know, find that support system that told me it was okay.
Any guilt today?
No, now they're 13 and 15 and the feedback is good coming from them. I think they prefer their dad. I'm a bit more rigid, so.
Perfect. So we're today, you know, we're kind of starting off the conversation talking almost like from an employee perspective to an extent of how to win as an executive or as an employee who's going to break through the glass ceiling if it exists or as it exists. And, you know, but we're also, the three of us are all interested in helping businesses succeed, right? So Krista from a financial end in many cases, obviously Preet, you are helping people to put the right people in their lives that can help them to succeed. Let's talk about helping small businesses. That's a pretty big part of our audience. And so maybe let's talk about the challenge as it exists, and maybe we can look at it almost as an opportunity as we sit here and think about the way it's always been. And now maybe at different times, there's these wake up calls that says, hey, look, it's time to rethink the mix of our employee base, the mix of our shareholder base, the mix of our board of directors. As we think about that opportunity, you know, we've got a long ways to go. Maybe help us think about where we're at in this, in this transition to, in this wake up call, if you will. Krista, maybe you could kind of start us off. Where are we at?
Well, things are definitely different. I mean, for us at Five Star, it's meant, you know, we have 140-ish employees right now, and about half of them have transitioned to working from home. And we have, you know, like many businesses, we had to figure that out. I mean, we're a bank, so, you know, we had all of this infrastructure and systems in place in order to do that because, you know, we have business continuity plans and disaster recovery plans and all this stuff. So, you know, it was probably easier for us than it was for a lot of people, but it's been very different. And it's also been interesting to see how our customers are evolving and changing with this. You know, like our customers that made, you know, display cabinets are now doing a lot of the acrylic, you know, clear stuff, you know, for grocery stores and for bank branches, and seeing these people go, oh, hold on a second, there's an opportunity right there that didn't exist before, and I'm gonna, you know, run through it right now. You know, when we've seen other customers, you know, pivot to more of online sales and more sales techniques that focus on Zoom and online stuff. And it is just, it's been really, really interesting and really cool to see.
So Preet, just kind of following up on that, we kind of switched over a little bit to COVID as the big challenge of the day. But we've also been talking about diversity and women's empowerment as really a challenge of the day as well, building a diverse culture. So let's kind of tackle them both, if you will. So here we are in COVID, and the needs of our employers are changing. But we're also talking about building a diverse team. It's been something that's been a challenge for a while. So maybe thoughts on both.
So diversity, well, as we know, there's a direct impact to return on investment with diversity, right? Because look at Sacramento, we're second largest, you know, second most diverse city. I think Oakland's number one. So that there should reflect that our buying power is very diverse in nature. So if we want to connect to our customers and, you know, our community, we should be open to hiring and accommodating diverse group of employees. I feel that we've done a good job, you know, in Sacramento creating diversity initiatives, but I would like to see it more training towards unconscious biases out there, because as much as we think we are open, all of us have some sort of unconscious biases, and there's some conscious, well, that's a shame if it exists in the company. So education, I am very, very involved with the Sacramento Area Human Resources Association. I've been on the board 4 times, and we've been pushing diversity initiatives for a long time. It's taken off quite a bit this year because of what's going on out there. But I think even as small employers, if we educate ourselves first and foremost as the head of, you know, the executive team, and then go down and make it a priority that we're open to hiring, but also retaining, you know, diverse group of employees, age group, race, color, gender, all of that.
Then, when you say unconscious biases, can you give me an example? What do you see out there as you're dealing with the Sacramento business community?
Well, you know, we have Sacramento is one of the cities where we have a lot of stay-at-home moms, right? So let's say they return back into workplace, and out of about 115 contract employees at Pacific Staffing, I would say 90 of them are female. I was just looking at it. So a lot of them are either coming back from workforce, or they're not the breadwinners. They tend to work project-based positions. So I do feel like there's a lot when we take employees that have had gaps of employment back to our clients, there's that automatic reaction. Oh my God, that's a mom returning back. She's going to need to take time off if the kiddos need to take time off or whatnot. Or sometimes there is names on resumes we don't know how to pronounce. And, you know, we're reluctant to ask, like, hey, how do you pronounce this? So all of that, I mean, you know, I don't know if that's a little bit more conscious bias, but then there's a little bit of that unconscious that if there is a gap of employment, they had a kid returning back to work. So for me, it's all about we do a good job screening. If somebody is ready to go back to work, what they're looking for, let's go. And right now, working moms, mainly moms still, we're still evolving as, you know, moms and mom and dad role. You know, they, with COVID, they're being impacted quite a bit with homeschooling, making sure most of them are, mm-hmm. I still see that they're going to be the caretakers if somebody got ill, or doctor's appointments and whatnot. And there's quite a bit of planning around that. So there's a lot more of that. We feel like if we automatically take a resume that's more female, there's more questions asked in certain positions. So, you know, we just have to be careful how we navigate through that. But also, I have a few clients that are very progressive. They're open to we have programs in place. We will support if something, God forbid, something happens, or you need extra time with your kids. And there's some employers hiring additional temporary staff to make sure they can maintain that if they have leave of absence or whatnot. It all depends what you can afford.
Yeah,
I understand small business, there's limitation, right? You have very few employees to begin with.
True. Now, at Five Star, Krista, you've been proactive, I would say, and really creating, I don't know, I would say a very diverse leadership team, strong women. Where are you at in the journey as far as building out your employee base and diversifying, if you will, to sort of match the needs of the community?
You know, it is something that we focus on every day. Literally, every time we hire, we make sure that we are posting jobs, you know, in a wide array of places to get the most diverse candidate pool that comes to us. And we have an HR department that does a lot of really good screening. And, you know, by the time the candidates are presented to the hiring managers, you know, they're pretty well vetted, and the hiring managers don't have to worry about any of that stuff. And the thing that is good about that, especially about having like three women, let's say, on our executive team, is that you have some diversity in the decision makers, right? And, you know, we have experiences that we bring to the table. And, you know, like Preet and I were talking today, this is a little bit off topic from what you were saying, but Preet and I were talking this morning that neither one of us has ever had a woman as a mentor in our lives. And that one of the key things that we focus on, and that I know I focus on at Five Star, and I know Preet does as well, is making sure that the people who are coming up in our organizations don't have that experience and that it's different. And that's one of the things I love about having three women. We have eight people with C titles at the bank, and three of them are women. So, I mean, that's pretty good. That's a testament.
Yeah. Well, you think about smaller companies, Preet, you were talking about smaller companies who maybe only have 3, 4, 5, 10 employees, and earlier stage companies. I can see the more established companies that have been around a while and have several employees that have sort of caught up in the old school way. It might be tougher for them to make the shift or make the pivot to being more progressive, where a smaller company, I think, and maybe even more of an early stage company, has more of an opportunity to sort of build that foundation early on. Advice or thoughts on really how you do that in terms of building out that leader, finding those right people. Sure, put out job postings, but many times in those early stage companies, you're looking for just real people just to kind of pitch in and lend a hand. And you, and a lot of times it's by convenience.
Yeah. I mean, recruiting, to start out with recruiting, it has to be well thought out process. Otherwise, you know, your talent makes your business, not the other way around. Right. It's key, especially in a startup phase. So it's an exercise you have to do. Put together a candidate profile. You know, what would be the person that I would say go through? What are your strengths as a founder? What sorts of weaknesses do you have? What do you need from another person? What would work? And being very open and honest and transparent about, you know, how you work, what's your work style, what your expectation would be. So whenever I take a position early on, I say, well, let's not. A lot of times people think they know what they want and they will know when they need somebody. But recruitment is, you know, it's getting much more challenging now, because candidates also, a good employee will also want to know that there is a serious connection. So I go through an exercise of, okay, what are your strengths and weaknesses? What are you looking for? What's your vision? What's your mission? Where do you see this business? You know, what are your expectations 3 months, 6 months, a year from this role? So we go with that, and, you know, everything else from what it would look like. We do get somebody who's like, well, that 10 years of experience would be perfect. Well, I don't think that matters anymore, right? It has to be relevant experience. So that's where ageism and all of that, that's where the biases start coming in, right? That's what they would look like. This is the type of university they went to. So a lot of times we like to surround people just like us, you know, because it's comfortable. And I think we have to get used to being, going back to a little bit uncomfortable, right? Not only we get to tell you as an employer, you know, what our vision is, but also listening in, because a good employee will bring a lot to the table and help grow.
Because of some of the circumstances that have happened most recently, George Floyd and so on, is the conversation about diversity, generally speaking, is it more common in your conversations today around hiring with boards of directors or with HR directors? Is diversity a more common subject today than it was yesterday?
Absolutely. I had three diversity and inclusion roles that I have taken one on, a one search, and two more coming. So our local employers are looking to add diversity and inclusion offices fairly quickly. And they're openly saying like, hey, we are opening, I have a position with a not-for-profit here locally, and they're looking for a diversity candidate for their head of HR because they don't have enough on their board. But I'm also getting a lot of questions from candidates. As we're doing an intake with our candidates for any key positions, they are asking if the employer has a good diversity program. It's important. Millennials are going to push it. They will walk away from companies that, you know, aren't open and to diversity and inclusion as something they live by in their mission.
Interesting.
So let's talk about, I'm going to switch back over to, you brought up COVID or brought up today's economic climate. It's changed because of COVID. It's changed for a lot of reasons. There's a lot of uncertainty. People are moving their businesses to online. Certain businesses have found a way to thrive. Others of them are still on their heels. What are we seeing today from a HR standpoint, and maybe even a finance standpoint? Who are the winners and losers right now? Who's hiring? If I'm out there going, I want a job, where should I be looking right now?
Mortgage, grocery. We are doing fairly well. I mean, I lost about a third of a business, maybe April, May, June, July picked up, and we're August, September, we're back to where we were pre-COVID in our direct hire activity as well as temporary. So financial services companies, mortgage industries, real estate development, even construction had stayed strong. There aren't a lot of newly created positions in construction. However, a lot of different companies, healthcare companies, are adding on to human resources, extra help to manage leave of absence, recruitments, strong with healthcare organizations locally again. That COVID impacted healthcare companies, you know, as we know, dramatically, but we're back to hiring again. So it's been good lately, and technology stayed consistent. So we have some software companies that have continued to add on to it. We also had a couple clients move from Bay Area to Sacramento region, and they're, you know, hiring and onboarding employees here as well.
Krista, are you seeing any of the same trends? Are you seeing anything different?
Yeah, no, I'm seeing the exact same trends. And I know we have, I mean, I would say since March of this year, we've probably hired 20 people. So we're definitely growing. I mean, we had the PPP thing, and our SBA lending, as you can imagine, is thriving right now. And it's been great. And we have been able to find really good candidates. But we're seeing a lot of competition, though, with other financial services firms and mortgage. So Preet's right on with that.
So thinking about that, you may or may not know that I'm invested into like 40 companies here in the Sacramento region. Many of them, I'd say most of them, bank with Five Star, by the way. But some are doing better than others, right? So we've got construction companies that are doing pretty well. They seem to be staying busy, especially on the home improvement side, but even on the commercial side, where hospitality type stuff that might be looking a little more at the leisure dollar or at the face-to-face event like restaurants, they're still not quite back where they need to be. And you're probably, Chris, you're probably seeing people pivot, finding a way, you mentioned that, seeing people get more creative. So thoughts on that as we reach out to these small business people to get in their heads. Thoughts on how we might want to approach this?
Yeah, I mean, I think that being open-minded and creative and, you know, stepping into any kind of void that you see out there is, you know, where it's going to happen. Those are the people that we've seen where, you know, we have a couple customers where, you know, they're now, as of 5 months ago, doing something that they had never thought about doing before. I mean, the perfect example are these, you know, acrylic plexiglass barricade things, right? Like we have two customers that I can think of off the top of my head who didn't make any of those 5 months ago. And now, you know, they have so many orders, like the biggest problem they have is getting their hands on the plexiglass, right? Because, you know, it's harder to come by, but that kind of thing and being nimble and thoughtful and open to change is, you know, helping those people make it through this time.
Yeah. And I want to kind of go back to one of the things I tried to get the question out at the beginning to sort of establish where we're at. If you were to think of a baseball game, nine innings, and we're trying to build a workforce, we're trying to build an investor group, potentially a board of directors that really matches what we want, our goals, right, as employers and as business leaders. So we're making this change. I feel like we're not there. Are we in the very, very early innings? Are we halfway through where we ought to be? Or are we further along than maybe what I'm implying?
I mean, I would say that definitely progress has been made. And I think that would be difficult to refute, but I mean, I would say we're in the first third of it. I think that there's a long way to go.
Yeah, you feel like it's less with the women's empowerment than it is the general diversity that might incorporate I don't know, age and race and other areas beyond just what sex we are.
Yeah, I mean, there definitely is work to be done on all of it. I mean, maybe the women's angle is a little bit farther along than the others, but there's work to be done on all fronts. But like Preet said, I do feel like the message has been received by the businesses and by candidates, because we're experiencing the same thing where people are asking us questions along those lines, like, what are you doing and how are you doing it? And our customers are asking, and you know, our regulators are asking, which is an interesting angle too. So it's great to see. And I think that, you know, once you have buy-in from all of those cohorts, you know, people will do the work and it will happen.
Is what about from a customer angle for a bank? Are you looking to diversify your customer base so it's more diverse, or is it predominantly more on the it's called employees and executive team?
It's all of it. It's employees, it's executive, it's vendors, it's customers, it's all of it.
Mm-hmm. And you're probably, so what inning are we at, Preet? Krista says we're in the first three innings somewhere, message received, but we've got a long way to go. Thoughts?
Yeah, I'm with Krista. The message is received. Like for me, I have quite, you know, my story is quite positive, right? My three mentors, Richard Engelhardt, Mike Dagarian, Malcolm Carling-Smith, are all white male over 65, and they wanted me to succeed. They saw me through it. When I bought the company from Jay, Malcolm, who's retired since then, he's a CPA as well as an attorney. He came and made sure that, you know, the whole deal was done well and looked at the books. So I've gotten more than, you know, enough. So I always had that message that if you go seek, you will find. But not all of my friends have been that fortunate, that there were people behind them. I didn't have to put any money into this company. I had to earn it. You know, I had to meet certain criteria and have some work. So that being said, I want to be that mentor to somebody, right? Especially, I am an immigrant. My dad didn't even speak English. I came from Fiji when I was almost 16 and, you know, had tons of opportunity. I would hate to see it regress, or, you know, we get divided as a community. So to do that, you have to be that type of leader that's pulling people up. And I'm involved with Women's Empowerment, which is a group that brings homeless women into workforce. And I always go in there and say, this is not a handout, it's a hand up. It's a training program, so you can do it on your own. And they're the true heroes. I get motivated when I go into their graduation classes to see where they were at the beginning and where they are at the end of their, you know, program. So again, I had a very loving, you know, family, very strong support group. I have two brothers who are very bright. One is a business owner here locally, you know, who was a good mentor along the way, but again, there weren't a lot of women who were like, hey, forget this, you can do it, you should do it. You know, I got discouraged often, actually, you know, because of the mom guilt, or they felt like it would be too much. I wouldn't have it all. So again, so there's work to be done. So personally, I'm motivated to be somebody who is, you know, pulling other women, especially immigrant or anybody from, you know, similar background as mine as well.
One of the things I love about Five Star, and I see this on their, on your, Krista, on your social media channels, it's something I've tried to do with the Mark Haney Show over the years, is highlighting the stories of winning. Because if we can have positive examples, like you two, right? Each of you is a very positive example. And the more that we highlight, I think, those stories, the way you do it, Five Star, the way I'm attempting to do, I think it makes those of us out there that are thinking, can I do this? Well, if Krista did it, if Preet did it, if somebody at Women's Empowerment had a before and an after story, like if we can highlight those stories, find a way to celebrate those victories, to me, that's a huge part of how we're going to get from, let's call it the second inning, the third inning, first inning, you know, how we can advance this thing so we can have some, you know, so we can change the, you know, kind of the, really the landscape of the region. And I think it happens one success story at a time. So I want to congratulate you, Krista, for your organization and what you do. But what else can we do? Okay, highlighting these success stories, getting the right mentors. We talked about that. Are there any other things that we should be thinking about as business leaders? Look, we have to encourage this sort of behavior.
Yeah. I mean, I'd add, you know, building networks and making connections. Like I know at Five Star, you know, about a year and a half ago, we created a group of all the female executives at our customers and female business owners. Preet is in this group. And we did several really fun events where we ended up with, you know, 30, 40 women all together with the one connection being Five Star. And it was funny because, you know, we invited Preet to this thing, and then we invited another one of our large customers, and then we get to the event and the two of them are like best friends. And I'm like, well, hold on a minute. You know, how do you know each other? And they've already been, you know, each other's friends and champions along the way. And, you know, during that group, you know, we've had our customers make true connections with each other and hire each other and call each other and get advice from each other. And it's been a really, really cool experience.
Awesome. Preet, same question. Anything we should be doing? Okay, so brought up the community. And it sounds like a lot of the things we're talking about is nobody builds a truly great company or even a great life alone. You've put spouses in your life that are key, strong people. You've put, you know, you've got mentors. You talk about building this community, Krista. Other thoughts along those lines, or maybe to sort of add on to what's already been discussed, Preet?
I would add on to different thought leadership groups, right? I try to, you know, stay well networked, so I try not to miss any legal updates, or if, you know, any of the CPA firms are having any events, some charity events where I could meet. I look at who will be there. So either it's a VC firm having, you know, a toy drive, or it's a school career services with the MBA program at Sac State. Whenever I get, or the economic review, I try to attend all of that, but also, you know, spin off from those groups. Like I find Five Stars, the women executive group, quite helpful. I build relationships with, you know, few of the executives from that group who I can call for different reasons. So I say more, we can strengthen that for, you know, up and coming emerging leaders as well. It's key that we keep giving back, but also have different thought leadership groups or think tanks. When I started recruiting in Silicon Valley, there's quite a few, and I really truly enjoyed it. And it's fun and good to see that Sacramento is trending that way now within the last 5-6 years.
Okay. Well, we only have a few minutes left. I want to give each of you maybe a chance to have some closing thoughts that you might share. My closing thoughts are thank you. I appreciate you sharing your stories, reaching out to that next generation of business leader. In this case, we've been talking more about women's empowerment. But I think any of us that are not satisfied with the status quo, and we have these fears about, should I reach out? And you, both of you being so, open to helping that next person in line. To me, that's very gratifying. I want to be that person for the entrepreneurial community. No matter what you look like, I want to help build entrepreneurs because I think entrepreneurs solve the world's biggest problems, and they're really the key to Sacramento's future and to the future of our country. So to me, I love the entrepreneur, and I think it's where the creativity comes from. So I want to help them. And so we appreciate you sort of having that same mentality. But I want to give you a chance, to each of you, to have closing thoughts on the business climate, on this issue specifically. And again, thank you both for joining me today. So maybe I'll start with you, Krista, and then we'll let Preet, we'll have you have the last word.
You know, Mark, I'm just happy that we're having this conversation, because the fact that we're having it means that the progress is being made, right? And we're going to progress through the innings. You know, this COVID situation is difficult, which, you know, is the understatement of the century, but the bonds that we're forging and the things that we're learning, you know, are going to serve us going forward. And the fact that this conversation about diversity and women and race and gender and, you know, all of it is happening is going to move everyone forward, entrepreneurs and all.
Aha, love it. All right, Preet, you've got the last word.
Well, I agree with Krista. This is great that we're having this conversation. Even as a women-owned, minority-owned business, 6 months ago, I didn't want to go with that because I felt like I'm truly a good recruiter. Look at me that way versus anything else. Now I'm proud to say that because it's motivating others that, you know, that we can do it. If there are people who think they're limited because of who they are and how they look or the limitations others would perceive in them. But I'm so glad. I feel like it's going to be disruptive, a bit uncomfortable, but we'll get there because we're going to have that conversation. And as long as we're truly, you know, looking at this is a good thing for all of us.
It begins with a conversation, and it's good for all of us. Thank you, Krista, Preet, for what you do for the Sacramento community and for helping out on the Mark Haney Show today. So thank you very much. Appreciate you joining me.